This lesson that was assigned to me is certainly is one that has become more dear to my heart simply because I just returned on Sunday from attending a funeral in Marietta, Georgia. A family member who passed away that left the Lord many years ago. And it was definitely hard to sit there and to, first off, to listen to the preacher of the church that she was now a part of or had been a part of, and to listen to the premillennial doctrine that he was teaching and preaching as he placed her into heaven, and as he said a number of other things that just really hurt, because I know that she had been taught the truth. And it was unfortunate that now she is faced with not being able to have heaven as her eternal home. And so as I think about this lesson, dangers of departing from the faith, it's that much closer to my heart. A very important lesson, no doubt. We know that the church was purpose and plan from the beginning of time. Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, the eternal purpose of God. And God's plan is a simple plan, but unfortunately, we make it more difficult than it has to be. Man, for some reason, struggles with maintaining the simplicity that's in Christ. Paul in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, in chapter 11 and verse 3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." There's simplicity in Christ. But too often it is that we confuse that and we fail to maintain that simplicity. Think back in the Old Testament times, the simplicity of the instructions that was given to Nadab and Abihu to simply offer that offering of incense, to get it from a correct source that God authorized, and yet they used fire from a different source. And we know what happened there. Or think about Naaman in Second Kings chapter 5, the simple instructions to go to the Jordan River and to dip himself 7 times. And yet Naaman couldn't quite understand it because he had in his mind how he thought it was going to go down. You know, he said, "I thought for sure that this man Elisha was going to come out and he was going to stand and call on the name of his God, and he's going to raise his hand over the spot, and that's how it was going to happen." But it didn't happen that way. He said, "Go to the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times. And he had a problem with that. You know, he said, "But what about these other 2 rivers in Syria? You know, aren't they better than this river, the Jordan River?" It wasn't God's plan, though. Simple plan. And we often, we don't maintain the simplicity that is in God's plan. Well, when we think about Jesus Christ commissioning his apostles, Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18, they were given the instructions to go and teach all nations, baptizing or making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then we see that actually put to action in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was dispatched from heaven and he filled the apostles, enabled them to witness for him and to preach the gospel. Peter preached the first gospel sermon following that ascension of Jesus Christ. And they went on and they preached the gospel, and some 3,000 souls were added unto the apostles that day. And the Lord's church was established on that day. And they continued to preach that same gospel. And they organized those disciples in local autonomous congregations. And it was intended to be that way until Jesus Christ returned. But the writers of the New Testament also talked about the fact that there would be deviations from the faith. There were going to be deviations from the faith. I want you to turn in your Bible with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's talk just for a moment about one of these New Testament writers that talked about a deviation that was going to take place. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 1. He says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who will privately bring in damnable heresies or destructive opinions, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
and many shall follow their pernicious or their immoral ways. You see, this is one of the dangers of departing from the faith. The fact is that there are so many people that are deceived by these false teachers. Deception. Listen as Peter continues. He says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In verse 3, he says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned or insincere words or lies make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I want to go back just for a moment. Look at what he says here, that with those lies they're going to make merchandise of you. Who wants to be made merchandise of? Who wants to be deceived? But folks, if we're not careful, we will find ourselves deceived and departing from the faith. I want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and consider some keys that I believe are important for us to recognize as we deal with this topic. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And look at verse 1 here. Paul says here, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, the Holy Spirit speaks distinctly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Some shall depart from the faith. Folks, we need to understand that the Lord has established a distinct faith.
Amen.
The Lord has established a distinct. Some folk in the Lord's church have a problem with that, because they believe and they have been persuaded to think that there are Christians in all churches. Let me tell you what, I speak again from personal experience, because I grew up where I was baptized. The congregation hired a false teacher, unfortunately. And that gentleman came in there, and you know, when I listened to what Peter said there in 2 Peter chapter 2 about how the false teachers would come in, and they would come in basically flying under the radar, if you will. This brother was so smooth with his doctrine, with the way that he taught. And not enough of the members were involved in studying the Word of God to know that what he was teaching was false. And before you knew it, he had a majority of that congregation believing that there are Christians in every church. Every church that exists, those are all God's churches. Those who are members of the Church of Christ, you're not the only ones going to heaven. This is what he was teaching. Folks, we need to understand that there is a distinct faith. You see, when you consider what Paul says here, that some shall depart from the faith, in order to depart from the faith had to first of all be established. Had to be established. And while religious freedom and tolerance may be the strong cry of our time, we need to understand that this faith is singular and it's distinctive. It's a pattern of teaching that divinely inspires us to establish and preserve the Christian religion.
Yes.
Let's talk about that word faith, because we know that faith is used in different ways in Scripture. Oftentimes we talk about faith, a personal trust or confidence that we have in the Lord. Jesus on several occasions talked about that. He said on one occasion, he got on the disciples and he asked them how was it that they had no faith. On another occasion, he said they had little faith. And yet when he talked about that centurion who brought his servant and wanted his servant to be healed, Jesus said to him, declared that he hadn't seen such great faith in all of Israel. So that's one way that faith is used. But yet when we talk about the faith with the article T-H-E in front of it, now we're talking about something else. We're talking about something else. We're talking about that, as W.E. Vine describes. He says it makes reference to the contents of belief, or what is believed. You're talking about the teaching, the doctrine of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The doctrine that not only teaches us what we must do to be saved, it teaches us what we need to do in order to maintain salvation.
Amen.
It teaches us about the Lord's church.
Yes.
It teaches us about the organization of the Lord's church. It teaches us about what's going to happen in the end to the Lord's church. All of that falls under that umbrella of the faith. And the early Christians were taught, as far as the faith was concerned, that the faith could be preached. See, this is how I know that it's not talking about the personal confidence or trust that we have in the Lord. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 23, the faith could be preached. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, it said that a great number or a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. They obeyed the faith. The faith could be continued in, according to Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. It could be striven for, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. It could be contended for. Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. Jude verse 3. The faith could be denied. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. For man doesn't provide for his own, especially those of his own household. He is less than an infidel and has denied the faith. That's what Paul says. The faith can be denied. The faith can also be strayed from, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 21. It's only when we give a strict adherence to this objective truth, then and only then will we promote the mission of Jesus Christ and glorify God in heaven. The faith. And as Jude says, that was to continue until Jesus Christ returns. That was the pattern. Very simple. But you know, the Holy Spirit predicted apostasy. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, as he goes on, he says, some shall depart from the faith. How so? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. You see, how would they end up straying away, straying from the faith? First off, when we talk about the word depart, it means to abandon. It means to fall away from. How would they end up abandoning the faith? It's through the teachings. It's through what they allow themselves to give ear to. He says they would give heed, they would listen to, they would follow the teachings of seducing spirits, teachings of demons. We need to understand, folks, that not everyone who stands up with a Bible in front of them is out to preach the truth. That's the bottom line. And I know what ends up happening is that we allow ourselves to get too caught up into the person. We allow emotions to run wild, and we love the person to the point where we begin to put our hands over our ears and clog our hearing and not listen to what the person is saying. Folks, we got to be just like the Bereans were in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. You see, who can you think of that you would feel, you know, so happy, so ecstatic to be affiliated with in the Apostle Paul? And yet when Paul preached to them, the Bible says that they received the word with readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether the things that Paul said were so. Now, if they were willing to check up on Paul, we ought to be willing to check up on anyone who stands up in this pulpit. But some were going to abandon the faith, the Holy Spirit says. They were going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. I want to read, if you don't mind, just the translation from the ESV just for a moment. Here in verse 1 and 2, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. See, we have to understand something. You can't just look at the person, look at his face, or consider how many degrees that person has and how he smiles and all of that and the nice suits that he wears and just think automatically that this person is a bona fide servant of God, preacher of the truth, of the gospel, because that individual may not be. We need to be careful of what it is, of how we listen and what we give our ears to. While the prediction was made, you know, the time that was being referenced here wasn't too far off. Go back to Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 28. You remember when the Apostle Paul met with those elders, the Ephesian elders there in the city of Miletus, as he was trying to make preparation to get back to Jerusalem? He met with them, starting in verse 17, and he talked with them. He basically gave a summary of how he lived his life amongst them. But he was trying to prepare them for a warning. He gave them some instructions, his exhortation in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Look at verse 29. For I know this, Paul says. I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves. He wasn't talking about other folk. He's talking about those that he had called together to meet with him, sitting right in front of him. Amen. He says, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now, can you imagine being one of these elders, listening to what it is that Paul is saying, what Paul is basically accusing them of, and it hasn't even happened yet. But he's letting them know that this is what's going to happen. I know this is going to happen. It's the Holy Spirit who's guiding him to say these things. Some of you are going to depart from the faith. You see, so that time wasn't far off that the Holy Spirit is speaking of in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Of course, we know that was one of the first major changes in the Lord's church, was that in the organizational structure amongst the eldership. Departures from the faith are real. It's not just about what we read in Scripture, but even in our day. And we need to wake up, we need to recognize it, and we need to prepare ourselves against it. It's present in our day. I have several websites here, and if you get the book, you'll be able to get it, because I'm not going to mention those websites here. But, you know, you have folk today, and I'm not talking about in denominational churches. I'm talking about in those who claim to be the Lord's church, who are promoting and practicing gender equality and inclusivity in the worship and organization of the church. There's a whole website given over to individuals who are members of the body of Christ, who are promoting the use of women in various capacities in the Lord's church, to serve around the Lord's table, to serve as elders and deacons. Let me tell you something. I'm by no means am I a chauvinist. And for no stretch of the imagination, by no stretch of the imagination, do I think that women are not as talented and knowledgeable as men are. The church is not about talent. It's not about talent. It's about knowing the word of God and knowing what God's word says. You see, because God has roles, just like we have roles in the family, there are roles in the Lord's church. And we have to respect those roles. We have to abide by the roles that the Lord has given us to follow. And when we're talking about the qualifications of elders, the last time I checked, when it says must be the husband of one wife, eliminates a woman from serving as an elder. But yet, it's because of society, and it's because of being politically correct, and the pressure that some folk feel from the outside, that in order to fill up the church building, the parking lot, and the collection plate, we have to do things so that we, you know, keep all the folk coming. And not a whole lot of folks are going to come if you keep on saying that only men can serve in certain capacities. And so you have some brethren out there who are caving in to this pressure, practicing and promoting gender equality and inclusivity in the worship, offering Saturday evening worship as well as worship opportunities that include the use of mechanical instruments of music. Establishing a church in a bar. I'm sure many of you have heard about that. Church in a bar. You know, where the children, those who are under 21, would have a wristband on to make sure that they don't get served alcohol. What kind of nonsense is that? Listen, I believe that we need to reach folk out there in the world just as much as anybody else. But I also understand that there are some environments in which individuals are not going to be willing to listen to you as they need to understand the word of God. And certainly when someone is turning up a 40 or a glass of wine, that's probably not the time they're going to listen to you about what the Lord wants them to do. Provide non-scriptural counsel on prevalent issues like marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Big issue. But, you know, in order to keep folks coming and keep everyone happy and keep from stepping on toes, you know, we teach certain things or we don't teach certain things. Just let it go. We wonder why these things happen. Well, because some folks are just attempting to be more progressive in attracting more young families and young adults. So they opt to do these things. They recognize that the older generations are dying off, and if we're not careful, you know, we're not going to have anyone present. So we're going to have to try to water things down a little bit to try to keep folk happy and keep them coming. So if we're going to get some young families in here, we're going to get some young adults in here, we got to make sure that we're supplying the various programs and the things that will attract them. You have those who are concerned for not being labeled as unloving, intolerant, legalistic. Let me tell you what, if standing up for the word of God means that I have to be called those names, I'll take it any day.
Amen.
I'll take it any day. Because we have to understand that what a person means by what they're saying, how they define those terms, and what the word of God says are not always the same thing. So if they want to call names, let them call names. They call Jesus names. Jesus says, if they hate me, how do you think they're going to treat you? We have to prepare ourselves for it. But you have those out there who are trying to compete with the denominations. Last time I checked, we're not in competition with the denominations. We're not in competition with them. We're out trying to persuade men to turn from sin and to stop following the influence of Satan. It's not about trying to compete with the denominations. If they have a church building that holds 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 people, so what? Our responsibility is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And as long as we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, plant the seed, water the seed, the Lord will give the increase. That's what the book says. And that's what we have to recognize. You have those who want to come across as more compassionate. You know, the Lord accepts you just as you are. Don't recall reading that in Scripture. I've never read that in Scripture now. I know the Bible tells me that we have to repent. Because Jesus says, except you repent, you'll perish. Luke 13, verse 3. We have to repent. That's for everyone. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. He commands all men everywhere to repent. No, you can't just come and stay as you are. Yes, we want you to come on in, but we want you to learn the word of God, and the word of God will command you and demand that some changes be made if it is not in line with what the word of God teaches.
Amen.
Changes have to be made.
Yes.
And that's for everyone. You know, sometimes elders have to change. Sometimes deacons have to change. Sometimes preachers have to change. So change may be necessary. It all depends on what God's word says and what it is that we're living, or how we're living and what we're doing. But folks, we need to not give in to those who are refusing to earnestly contend for the faith. We need to stand up and earnestly contend. Folks, there are steps that lead to apostasy I want to talk about next. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. See, because I don't believe that folks just wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I think I'll stray away from the Lord. They don't do that. They don't just wake up and decide they're going to leave the Lord's church and they're going to go and become a part of a denomination, or decide to leave the idea of church altogether. That's not what happened. That's not what happens. There are steps that lead up to folks departing from the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now listen to verse 3. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to reject the authoritative teachings of the word of God. The time is going to come, Paul says. He is warning Timothy that he needs to stand up and preach the truth.
Yes.
You preach it whether it's convenient. You preach it when it's not convenient. You preach it because that's what they need to hear.
Yes.
I don't care about the looks that you might be getting from the pews. Let me tell you what, I've gotten some looks before in my few years of preaching. It's not about those looks. You know, that tells me that something's going on, that the word is making you feel a little uncomfortable. And you probably need to hear a little bit more of that. But Paul tells Timothy he needs to preach. He needs to preach it because folk need to be corrected. Folks need to be convinced of their error, and folks need to be encouraged in living for the Lord. But the time is going to come, he says, that they're not going to want to hear the authoritative teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 28 declared in verse 18, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth." We have to understand that Jesus was given all authority, and he told the apostles what to do and what to teach. He knew that he wasn't going to be here forever, that he was going to be leaving shortly. But he prepared them. And for that which they were to teach that he had not already shared with them, because in John chapter 16 and verse 13, he revealed that there were many things that he wanted to say to them that they weren't able to bear at that time. But he said it would be the Holy Spirit who was going to guide them into all truth. The Spirit of God would guide them to teach the very things that God wanted them to know to teach, that would glorify him in heaven, that would honor Jesus Christ and what it is that he has done for mankind. The apostles were to preach and teach that authoritative word. Jesus told us through his prayer in John chapter 17 that I have given them the word that you have given me. Those men that you have given me out of the world, I've given them the word. And in verse 19, in verse 20, he says, now I don't just pray for them. I'm praying for those who shall believe on me through their word, through the apostles' word. Why? Because it's the same word that I've given them, the same word that you've given me, the authoritative word of God. So inasmuch as the apostles have preached and have written down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit those things that God wanted us to know, that's what we are to follow. There will be folks who are not going to want to hear that. And then he goes on and he says here in verse 3, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to be driven by their own personal desires and passions, in other words, and wanting to hear different things that are pleasing as opposed to things that might condemn them for their desires and passions. Folk don't want to be told that they're wrong. It doesn't feel good. I'll be the first to tell you that. But right is right. Truth is truth. And that's what we need to come face to face with. It's the only way that we're going to change. The only way that we're going to make necessary changes is to come face to face with it. You know what James says about looking in the perfect law of liberty? Absolutely. You're looking into the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is that mirror that we need to look at, because it is going to reveal exactly what it sees. You know, there are different types of mirrors out there in the world. Go to the circus or to the fair, and they have those different mirrors that make you look different ways. You know, some of those mirrors can make you look a lot thinner than you actually are. But the word of God is going to show you what it sees. Yeah, it's not going to lie to you. If you're in sin, it's going to tell you that. If you live in a corrupt life, it's going to tell you that. If you're not living the kind of life that would glorify and honor God in heaven, it's going to tell you that. But if you're doing what's right, if you are obedient to God, if you're demonstrating the love that you say you have for Jesus Christ, which he says that if you love me, you'll do what I say, keep my commandments. When you're doing that, it's going to let you know that, and it's going to encourage you in that. That's the word of God. But folk who are going to want to find those teachers that are going to say those things and teach them the things that they want to hear. As he says, that shall they heap to themselves teachers, accumulate teachers who only say what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. You know, that's the problem. That's the danger. Departing from the faith. Folks who have departed from the faith, they want to maintain what it is that they believe and what they think needs to be taught. And so they don't want you coming up here teaching something that is contrary to that. And then finally he says in verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Resisting truthful instructions of the apostles. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 15. which promote a spiritually disciplined lifestyle, they become satisfied with stories of fluff and foolishness. And there are many congregations out there that are satisfied with that. Fluff and foolishness. That's what you get from those preachers. You ever found yourself listening to a sermon and you just wonder, what in the world is he talking about? What? He's not even preaching from the Word of God. He's too busy telling jokes. He's not preaching the Word of God. He's presenting that which will tickle ears. And folk leave, they're feeling good, all giggly on the inside, but you ask them, well, what did you get from the lesson this morning? I don't know, but it was good. Foolishness. Paul warned against that. He warned against it. How do we avoid the dangers of apostasy today? That's what it's all about. How do we avoid this? How do we avoid being deceived by false teachers? How do we avoid allowing ourselves to be caught up and before you know it, fall away from the faith? First off, we need to submit and commit to sound doctrine and instill the same in our children. Oh, that's so important. They're not going to want to hear it a lot of times. But that's what grooming is all about. Teaching our children from the cradle about God.
Amen.
See, because if you wait until they're 14 before you decide to introduce the Lord to them, chances are they're not going to want to hear it. Yeah, too many other things going on. Video games, movies, sports, all of the distractions that are out there. Now, I love sports. I love these things. But folk, it is hard when you haven't been trained properly to prioritize. And now you want to introduce what's supposed to be number one priority in your life. You've waited too long. Now it's a struggle to get them to come to worship. It's a struggle to keep them on the pew. It's a struggle to get them to want to come back to Bible class and participate in other activities. And as they grow up, my hit and miss. But you see the same thing in their children. At some point, it has to stop. At some point, we got to put our foot down. We have to decide that, no, I'm going to teach my children from the cradle. I'm going to teach them to submit and commit to sound doctrine. Secondly, we need the gospel preachers and teachers today to live consistently according to God's word and present God's word with love and with authority. First off is living according to the word of God. If you're not living according to the word of God, preachers, if we're not living what it is that we're preaching, you may as well close your mouth and sit down. Because it does no good. But we have to live it first if we're expecting others to be encouraged to do the same. Present it with love, but present it with authority. Because God's word is authoritative. It's not a laughing matter. It's about presenting the truth, about letting folk know God loves you. But this is what he says that you have to do. It's not an option. It is the truth, and this is what he wants you to follow. Thirdly, we need qualified men to serve as leaders in and protectors of the faith. Qualified men, not about trying to appoint men simply for the look, because we want to have elders and we want to be able to put on the bulletin, elders up here in the upper left-hand corner. I'm going to let that soak in for a second. Just on paper, we want to make sure we have individuals filling certain positions. That's not what it's all about. It's about having men qualified to serve in those positions. Because if you put non-qualified individuals in positions and expect them to carry out the will of God, it's not going to happen. You're deceiving yourself. Lastly, we need to follow the example of faithful brethren. Scriptures like Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 15. There are brethren that are faithful, and we know that we can identify them because we see it in the fruit that they bear. And we need to identify them, and we need to follow their example. That's how you prevent yourself from giving in to false teaching and departing from the faith. We appreciate your attention this afternoon. We hope, trust, and pray that something has been said to encourage us in this area of recognizing there is an ever-present danger of departing from the faith. And we want to make sure that we don't allow that to happen to us nor to our family members. We want to express the love of God, but we want to make sure that we do so by teaching folk what thus saith the Lord.
Well, thank you so much for your attention.